got a message for you today that is for me. It's something that is, for I believe, for all of us in the body of Christ that God has placed on my heart. I think it's been stirring in there, but it kind of came, I came up with it this Monday on my way into work. And it's called Fake ID. Now, I don't know how many of you in this room would be willing to do so, but if you've had a fake ID in your life, in your BC, before Christ days or something like that, anybody have a fake ID in their, Mom? I did not ask her beforehand, but I thought to myself, I bet you my mother had one of those. A fake ID. Wow. All right, well, the purpose, I'm sure we all know, the purpose of a fake ID is trying to deceive somebody into thinking you're somebody who you're not. Right? The information, you know, you might have the right photo on there or a photo that looks like you, but the information is usually doctored, it's false. It's making you think, most cases, that you're older than you actually are or that you live somewhere that you don't live. And that is the purpose of a fake ID, is trying to deceive somebody with falsified and fake and not genuine, okay? It's not real. It looks real, right? I watched a couple of videos online of some cops, some police officers who were training other people of how to spot a fake ID. And there's all these different techniques and ways to do it because they look so close to the original. I can remember the first time I heard about a fake ID. I was in high school, and I heard somebody, I had been homeschooled for a while, and I came back into school for my 11th and 12th grade, and somebody was talking about fake IDs, and here I am, the sheltered homeschooler, but I'm like, what's that for? What would you, for booze, man. Oh, that makes more sense. And I was talking about this with Diane Carter. She's the custodian here at the church, cleans all of our messes. Thank you, Diane. And she was telling me about, you guys used to have sheriff's cards, is that right? And that would, like, when the legal alcohol consumption age was like 18 or whatever, that would enable you to get that, and you'd have to go down to the sheriff's department and get your card, right? Well, obviously those were doctored and fake, a lot of them, because they're probably not as advanced as they are today. And it doesn't take long to look into reports, police reports, and things like that. I just searched today in Google News, fake ID, and I came up with this. Milford police are looking for a suspect who stole police by using a resident's personal information to create a fake Connecticut driver's license and ID card. They said the suspect used the cards to make two bank withdrawals from New York State banks. Wow. So not just the party and age and nothing, like, people are using this to take your money, okay? Fake IDs are incredibly popular in our society. And if you're a teenager and you're thinking about getting a fake ID, let me just tell you this. New York State has drastically gone after fake IDs. They went after... Actually, I have it right here. In this crackdown they went to, the biggest crackdown they had was just this past May. It was at a Brad Paisley concert. And guess where in New York it was? Darien Lake. 55 arrests. 55 arrests. In fact, using a fake ID, you can get, you can actually have two felonies, a D or a C class felony for a forged instrument. So if you're a teenager and you're thinking, that sounds like a good idea, it's not. Don't do it. You'll get in trouble. But this morning, what I want to talk to you a little bit about is a fake ID in the spiritual sense. A fake ID that the enemy, that Satan, has given you. A fake ID that you've picked up from the enemy, that I've picked up, that says who you are. The information is incorrect. The picture looks right. It looks absolutely like something that would pass, but it's fake. The information is wrong. It's not your true identity. The enemy are our souls. He doesn't want us to know our true identity. He doesn't want us to know who we are. He wants to give us a fake ID. He wants us to take that and place it into the wallet, if you will, of our lives and carry that around with us so that we act like who he wants us to act like, unlike what God wants us to act like. I think the best place to start when we're looking at this is in Genesis Because in Genesis, we can find out our true identity, but we can also find out what the enemy tried to do. And if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, I'm going to be reading for this portion here out of the New Living Translation. And as you know, this is the account of creation. Here we have Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." That's awesome right there, isn't it? Let us make human beings in our image, in God's image, that will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the livestock, all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in His own image. The image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Now, this is a great place to start because God created us in His image. Think about that for a second. God created us in His image. If that doesn't speak of how much He loves and values us, I don't know what else can. That's showing us He didn't make... Now listen, if you notice, He didn't do that with any other part of creation. He didn't just say, well, you know, I got this this person, I'll put a head, make him walk upright, you know, give him arms and kind of a weird torso. It's not like He made that up. He created us in His image. What a beautiful sight. But then it continues, and actually if you flip the page over to Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being." So not only did He create us in His own image, He actually breathed into us. Mankind breathed into us. That can't be said about primates, reptiles, livestock, wherever you're looking at. That can't be said. Canines were not breathed. I know we love dogs, right? And can I say this? Eagles. He didn't breathe into eagles either. We like eagles, and especially tonight, today, we like eagles. But no. That was reserved specifically for us, that He breathed into us, eternity into our hearts. That is not just poetic. It's not just poetic, but it's true. That's how much He loves us. That's how much He cares. You don't breathe into somebody you don't like, right? If there's somebody dying and you know CPR and you don't like them, if you hate that person, let's be honest, if you hate them, you're not doing it. God loved us so much, He breathed into us. So now we've established that mankind is valued, that we're loved by God. And in the next chapter, I want you to see, you can verse right here in Genesis 3, I want you to see what Satan does with this. He's jealous, he's angry, he's power hungry, he's mad. Here he is in verses 1 through 7 in Genesis chapter 3. This is in the New... NIV. "Now a serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made, and he said to the woman, 'Did God really say that you must eat from the tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'Well, we may eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" Now listen what Satan does. "You will not certainly die." What is he saying? He's lying to her, right? He's trying to pass her a fake ID that God doesn't really love you. He doesn't have your best interests in mind. That you're not loved by God. That you're not part of His chosen perfect creation. He's trying to take the fake ID and give it to her and write on the new information. The serpent said that, and then he says, "For God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." But when the woman saw the fruit on the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, she also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took it and ate it. She gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then both of their eyes were opened. They realized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make coverings for themselves. Now listen, this shows us that Satan has been in the fake ID business for a very long time. He is that shady guy that you knew in high school that's like, "I can get you a fake ID. You want a fake ID?" And his name's like Chuck or something, you know? He like reeks of cigarettes, and you know, he's up to no good. The Satan has been doing that from the dawn of time. From the moment that we were created in God's image and he established that he loves us and cares for us, the enemy has been after that every single day. Every moment of the day, every time. And listen, it doesn't stop there. I don't know if you remember in Matthew 4, Jesus, he tried to take Jesus' real identity. He tried to take his identity and say, here's who you are. Just to recap. Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan visits him and starts to question his identity immediately. He says, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones become bread. He's questioning it, right? Trying to get Jesus to question it. He's tired. That's when the enemy comes after you about your identity. When you're tired, when you're lost, when you don't got anything going for you, when you're in a sad place, that's where the enemy loves to pick up on that. Then he says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off this cliff. And then finally, he tempts Jesus with authority and power. If he would just bow down to him, then he would give him everything. But listen, Jesus spotted the fake ID. Jesus spotted the fake ID. He didn't take it. He knew his true identity, and he had his true ID card in his wallet. He knew. He wasn't going to take the fake ID that the enemy was trying to place on him. He gives us hope that we can do the same through him. Amen? So if Satan is trying to pass a fake ID to Adam and Eve and throughout creation and to Jesus himself, wouldn't it make sense that he's also trying to do the same thing to us? To you and me? Wouldn't it make sense that he would take every opportunity that he can to take your ID that God has given you and erase the true information and put false information down? So today I want to touch on four ways. I'm sure there's more, but these are the ones that I felt like we should talk about. Four ways that Satan tries to give us fake IDs. The first one is the sin ID. Have you ever done something really stupid and said to yourself, I'm an idiot? Right? It can be fun. Like the other day, I got my coffee, and you know, you open the refrigerator, you get your creamer, and you. Is my wife here? Oh, okay. Shoot. So I take the creamer and I pour it into my coffee, and then I put it what I thought was the fridge. Later to find out, I put it in the freezer. Man, I'm an idiot. Why did I do that, right? You have those moments. Or, sorry, honey, about a week ago, it was a nice day. I left the dog out all day long and forgot to bring him inside. Those are the moments that I say, I'm a dummy. What am I doing? And we know that's not healthy. It's not great to do. But the problem is that we do that with really big sins as well. Like, the dumb things we've done in our lives, the enemy has tried to say that you are that person. The sin that you committed is your identity. And he does it in a variety of ways. Maybe you've been in a season of your life where you were lying constantly, all the time, to your spouse. Maybe you were cheating, something like that. Now you've repented, right? You love Jesus, you repented, and God forgives you. In fact, let me just tell you this verse right here. In John 1, or 1 John 1, 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us from all righteousness. That's the truth. But what the enemy wants you to think is, no, you're still that person. On your ID, you're an adulterer. On your ID, you are a fornicator, a liar. And when we take that sin and we place it over our lives and say, this is who I am, that's what the enemy wants, because then we continue to do it. Think of people who are dealing with, and I get the whole idea of people who are saying, I'm an addict. You know, I get that. But at the same time, that's not your identity. That's not who you are. You are not an addict. You are actually free from that. That's what God said. You're free from that. That's not who you are anymore. And Romans 8:1, it says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. So when you have said, God, I'm sorry, please forgive me. There's no condemnation for you. You're a new creation, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. So the enemy wants you to think the opposite, and the enemy wants you to think that you are a fornicator. The enemy, if you're battling with pornography, right now is the time to say, that's not my identity. That's not who I am. Because if you accept that, you will still struggle in those sins. You can say, I am a former addict. You can say, I am a former, but by God's grace, I am a new creation. By God's grace in Christ, that is not my ID. And you take that fake ID, you give it to the Lord, and he says, he erases what the enemy has placed on your life. Can I tell you this today? Sin does not define you. Your sin, your previous sins, the things you've done in your life do not define you. They don't say, okay, Josh lied, Josh is a liar. No, Jesus says you're a new creation. You were a former liar. Now operate with your new ID. Because if we're operating with our fake ID, we're going to keep doing the things that God has called us away from. False information, it looks right. Remember, it looks good. It looks pleasing to the eyes. Okay, this looks about accurate. And we stick it in there. God's giving you a new creation ID, a forgiven ID, a loved ID. Number two, the other fake one. Other people's opinion ID. This fake ID is the one that's accepted based on the opinion of other people. For example, this might be a shocker. If you know me, it won't be. But in high school, I had a reputation of being the class clown. Yeah, can't believe it. Wow. I was known for doing funny and sometimes very inappropriate things in order to get a laugh. For example, one day my father, like one of his hobbies that he's had over the years that he's just picked up again is having bees, right? Having bees, honeybees. So he has a suit, right? A suit that you wear with a hat on. You know I'm picturing with the yellow netting and it's all white. Well, I decided that I was going to wear that to school. So I wore it to school, and then following school, me and my friends, we walked down Route 39 here, and I had a sign that said, honk if you love bees. There's no purpose behind it. It was just me being stupid as a kid and having fun. But because of those things, during my life, I was just called the goofball. I was called just a cut-up. I was told things like, you'll never amount to anything but just a goofball. I was told and labeled things that because of other people's opinions of me, and then I fed into that and I took that ID card and said, this is who I am. This is all I'll ever be. I went to Elam and I was the jokester and I was the funny guy because that's what I thought I was supposed to be. I was operating out of other people's opinions. So I was the funny guy and nothing less. But can I tell you this today? That is not who God said I was. It's a part of me. I have fun. I love to have fun. You know that. But it's not who I am. It's just a characteristic. But the world and the people in our life want to take those things about us and say, that's all you are. You're just that quiet person that doesn't talk to anybody. Some of you have been told, you're just a brainiac. You'll never be able to talk with people. And those are false things that people have placed on you. That's not who God says you are. There's kids who have, my wife works in special education, and they say, you know, there's not her, but people in the world say, oh, he's got ADD, this is just who he is. That's not who he is. That is just some part of who he is. Oh, this kid has autism. Listen, that's a label that the world wants to stick on people, on our kids and on you and me, that this is who you are. You better operate within your ID. You better do this within your ID. That's not your identity. If you're struggling today with anxiety or depression and people are saying that's all you're, that's not true. See, the world, our culture wants to label us because Satan wants us to have that fake ID. But listen, when we pick that up, we're not being who God wants us to be. And Jesus said, and he said that we are free from those labels. In Galatians 6:14, it says, for my part, I am going to boast about nothing but the cross of our Master Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, I have been crucified in relationship to the world, set free from the stifling atmosphere of pleasing others and fitting into little patterns they dictate. Look at that. Set free from that. Set free from the little patterns that people are trying to, it's almost like a mold that the world wants to stick us in. Have any of you guys see? Remember the Easy Bake Oven? Some of you in the 90s will remember the creepy crawlers. Yeah, they were like these little molds that you would pour this goop into and put it into a blazing hot furnace that was for kids. This toxic goo would go in there, and then you'd take it out, and then you would have the little gummy worms that you weren't supposed to eat, but of course we tried. The world is trying to do that with us. Enemy is trying to do that with us. Stick us into that little mold, stick us into that little pattern and say, okay, here's who you are. Don't operate anything without that. The enemy doesn't want you to operate with God's mold. He wants to stick you into his little box and make you do what he wants you to do. We got to be clear. We have to have our minds straightened and realize, for some of you, you've been called fat, ugly, mean, too funny, too abrasive, non-loving. That is not your ID. That is not who God's called you to be. Listen, you might be strong-willed. God wants to use that. Amen? My daughter, she's going to be 6 in about a couple months. She is the most strong-willed child I've ever met in my life. It's just like me, right? But when I see that, I see that's not her identity. That's a part of her, and God wants to use that. She is a child of God. She's loved by God. He breathed into her. He created her in his image. That's who she is. So we need to be searching for God's will in our lives, searching for his ID, and trying to shed off and throw out Satan's ID and what other people think about us. But can I say this, church? Listen, we have to be very careful ourselves not to place false IDs on other people. We have to be so careful not to do that. That's not what the church is for. You know, and I know, like, listen, maybe I've done this to you, but we've all had this in our lives. Maybe you've done this to me where you see somebody and you have one of those moments, right? Maybe the person was sick or they had a bad day and then they say something that they shouldn't say or you got offended in some certain way, shape, or form. So all of a sudden what you turned into is when that person treats you a certain way, you say, well, that person's a jerk, right? You label them. That person's a jerk. You label them. That person's stuck up. That person's always going to be that way. They're never going to change. And that's what we do to other people. And then we treat them based off of a fake ID. We treat them not as God's ID. We need to be people who are looking for what God's saying about them. God, give me your heart. Show me these people. Show me what they meant. Lord, show me your heart for them. What is their identity? And let me speak into that and treat them as God's identity. Listen, there's people that tick us off all the time. That's always going to happen. But their identity is not wrapped up into the dumb decision they made or how you interpreted it. Maybe as Christians, we should be trying to place their true identity on our enemies. A true identity on those who hurt us. Their true identity. Maybe we should be speaking into that and praying for that. Instead of just having these eyes that are looking at just the surface areas. We have all these big expectations for people to act like they're perfect, but then we give them a label that they're not perfect, and of course now they're going to act like that. You treat them like they're a jerk, and guess what? That's probably how you're always going to see them. Got to be careful. Number 3, this is the religious ID. Now, again, these IDs look really good. They look really good. They look like, you know, when the enemy hands them to us and we pick it up, it feels right. Because he's the master deceiver. This is what he does. He is the father of lies. So this ID is closely related to this previous fake ID where we're searching for the approval of others. But it's very dangerous. This fake ID says, if I look more spiritual, if I act more spiritual, the more worth I have with God and the more worth I have with others. This idea is where a person is consistently striving to show everybody how spiritual they are so that God will love them more, in their opinion, and other people will love them more too, or at least see them as being a holy, holy person. We've seen this before, right? Maybe we've done it ourselves. Jesus spoke about this as well in Matthew 6. 5 through 8. If you want to turn there, that's great. If not, that's okay. Matthew 6, 5 through 8, and it says this. Thank you. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you that they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask him." See, Jesus is pointing out two different motives here. There's two different motives that he's pointing out and saying, listen, don't be like that. And here's the first one. I mean, these hypocrites, their first focus is on the approval of others. They pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by others. Their focus is for everyone to see how holy and great they are, right? This is like the people who say God, but they say it in the holy way, which is like this, God. It's like, it's just God. No, it's God. I was praying to the Lord. He's just adding a to everything if you want to sound more spiritual. I'm Mr. Spiritual. I have all the answers. And that's the attitude, right? Look to me. The Lord speaks to me. Kind of gets a little Italian for a little bit, but... Those who pick up this religious ID want everybody to see how religious and spiritual and wise they are. They've accepted this fake ID that says if I act and look more religious, then people will respect me more, they'll look up to me more, they'll be impressed. I went to Elam Bible Institute, now called the Elam Bible Institute, in college. We got some people here from that, right? There they are, right there. Raise your hand. There we go. Yeah, and we got some alumni. Now, Elam is, when I was there, maybe it's changed, but when I was there was this constant push for this religious ID. Do you guys remember that? This constant push that felt like, man, people, my professors will like me more, you know, the dean will like me more, girls will like me more, if I act more religious and fake, right? If I play the part, if I pick up the ID and I do what everybody else is doing, even though it's not genuine, then maybe people will like me more and respect me more. Because again, I was trying to shed off that old ID of being the funny guy, so I wanted to pick up this new ID that was still fake. It wasn't truly who I was. And I can remember they have this is where it really bit me really hard. Elam has a week of prayer, and I believe, is that in January? Did you guys just go through that? Week of prayer where they spend, instead of going to classes, they spend time in like a setting like this where they're praying, hearing people speak, doing worship, and all that kind of stuff. And I can remember once in the morning session on probably like a Tuesday or Wednesday, they had this moment where we just pray. Everybody just go into your own little area and just pray. Well, I really wanted people to think I was praying, okay? You know what I mean? I just wanted them to think I was praying. But I was really tired. So, I laid down on the floor of the tabernacle at Elam. And as I was there, I was so like wrapped up into the Spirit of God that I fell asleep. The problem is when I, you know, and I don't know, I'm sure people thought, oh, wow, Josh is really turning a corner here, isn't he? He is so spiritual now. I woke up and nobody was there. They all went to lunch. So now I'm like, okay, I just got to get there as soon as I can, and hopefully they just thought I was praying. But what I didn't realize is I had the imprints of the carpet on my face. the imprints of the carpet were all over my face. It was red and blotchy. And they're like, oh, hey, what's up, Josh Whippy? Yeah, you were praying hard, weren't you? Yep. Got drool coming all over my mouth. It's like, but the truth is I just wanted people to respect me more. I thought that that would make things more holy. And can I tell you, it's not what God wants. He wants genuine. He wants relationship with him. You know, I fell asleep. It's life. It's that happens. It's a long week, okay? So it's a long week of prayer. So, but the thing is, we don't want to pretend and try. When our motive is to try to make other people like us more, Jesus is saying, don't do that. Go into your own room and pray to me. You don't have to do that. That's your motive. And I'm nothing against praying in front of people. But if your motive is trying to make them like you more, that's a problem. That means you're operating out of this religious ID. And the other one was, my value changes if I can impress God more. We do this with worship. That's where it can come in, with prayer. Jesus spoke to them, you know, the guys who are babbling on, and they're just saying all these words, trying to make God do what they're asking to do. If I just do this, if I fast this long, then God will do what I... That's not the way it's supposed to work either. God loves you. You pray and you worship him because he loves you, not because you're trying to get him to love you. If your motive is trying to get him to love you more, it's not working. He's like, what are you doing? Stop. You don't have to try to earn my love. It's already given to you. I just want to say it. I feel like somebody needs to hear this today, that Jesus loves you. And he wants you to operate into what he's called you to be. And you don't have to go to the other side of the pendulum and say, I'm super, super spiritual now. Listen, just love God. Love people. Give him everything you got, but don't try to earn his love because it's already there. Just spinning your wheels. Our identity should not be wrapped up into playing the part, or he won't love me, or other people won't love me. We want to pray because he loves us. We want to worship because he loves us. Number four, this one's really popular today, the victim ID. This is a very common fake ID that the enemy tries to pass along to us. It's the ID that works like this. If you've been hurt or wounded by someone or something in your life, now you believe, because of that occurrence or occurrences, that you're always wounded, that everybody's against you, and that you're the victim. Can I say that it looks really pleasing? Again, I know I've said that, but this one in today's culture, where we're at, just looks right. It just feels right. It's got her picture on it, and it says victim. If you've ever wondered if maybe you have a victim mentality, I found 11 signs of the victim mentality. The first one is this, that they're constantly blaming other people or situations for feeling miserable. They possess a life is against me philosophy. They think others are purposely trying to hurt them. They're cynical, pessimistic. They feel powerless to change their circumstances. They enjoy sharing their tragic stories with other people. They have a habit of blaming, attacking, and accusing those they love for how they feel. They're constantly putting themselves down. They believe that they're the only one being targeted or mistreated. They refuse to analyze their beliefs or improve their life. And finally, even when things go right, they always find something to complain about. See, somebody with the victim ID is listening to this now and being like, he's talking about me. I'm the victim. I'm not talking about you, but we've all been there, right? We've heard Pastor Jeff or Scott or myself say something. We hear that and we're like, they're talking about my situation. No, this is mankind right here, okay? This is the fake ID that the enemy is trying to place onto us and trying to make us out to be, so we feel and act like the victim. So we feel like we have nothing to live for, that everybody's against us, and everybody, including God. We do that sometimes with God. God, you never care about anything I do. You never for me. That's a victim ID. That's a victim mentality. But can I tell you today, you're not a victim. That's not your identity. If God was going to write what goes on your card, it would not say victim, it would say victor. It wouldn't say victim. Because of what's happened to you in the past is not who you are. That's not your identity. Jesus speaks of this, actually. He encounters a man, and I love this. It's one of my favorite parts in the Bible. John 5, if you're familiar with the story, there's a pool in Jerusalem that God's using for healing. And, you know, it was believed that there was angels coming down, stirring the waters. And then when people got in while the waters were being stirred, they would be healed. That's pretty cool. That'd be awesome. Many believed that if they just hung out by the pool, then they, you know, hopped in, then they would be healed. And Jesus finds himself in this place, but he was drawn to a man. He was drawn, his attention was there to a man who was sitting by the pool for some time. In fact, 38 years. This guy's sick and crippled for 38 years. In verse 6 in John 5, Jesus says this, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in his condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Now, let's just stop there for a second. That's an interesting question, isn't it? Do you want to get well? Here's a dude laying here for 38 years, crippled, not healed. And he's asking him, do you want to get well? That's like if you asked me, Josh, would you like a donut? Come on. Yes, I want a donut. And I would like the donut now, please. Where's the donut? Of course. But Jesus is asking him, do you want to get well? Who wouldn't want to say yes to that? Who wouldn't say, yeah, I want to get well. Help me. But here's the truth. Somebody who doesn't want to get well is somebody who's accepted the victim ID. Somebody who is content with being the sick, the crippled, the victim in the scenario. They're happy with that. They've taken that as their identity. That's who I am. Somebody is totally fine with being, woe is me, nothing works for me, everybody's against me, person. Here's how the guy responds in verse 7. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, somebody always tries to get ahead of me. Wrong response. Come on, dude, he asked you a yes or no question, and you're giving him the sob story. You're giving him the, nobody will help me in the pool. No, he asked you if you wanted to get well, and you said, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone goes down ahead of me. Man, if I was Jesus, I'd just smack him. Wrong response, man. He had the sickness identity. He had the victim ID. He'd accepted it. He's now looking. He's blaming others. He's blaming other people. And it doesn't seem like he really wants to get well. But then Jesus says, oh, I'm really sorry. I can't believe they hurt you. No, he didn't say that. Those mean people. That's what we do, though, don't we? We want other people to hear our sob story and then join us in our sadness and then further solidify that fake victim ID. We want to say that when somebody's like, do you want to get well? Like, do you want counseling? Do you want to get free from this area in your life? No. They won't say no. They won't say yes. They'll be like, but you don't understand. Let me tell you what happened to me when I was younger. Let me tell you. Listen, we got to fight this. We got to fight this. I know I'm making fun, but the truth is, me making fun of it is not you being the victim in this scenario. So just get that out of your mind right now. Sometimes we have to laugh at the stupid stuff we do. That's just part of it. But this victim thing, we all do it at times. We're all blaming other people, and we want Jesus to be like, oh, you poor thing. You just stay there. Jesus doesn't want you to be the victim laying on the side of the pool for 38 years who's accepted the fact that you're a victim. He wants you to get up. He says, right there in verse 8, he says, get up,
pick up your mat and walk. He's telling him, I'm not going to heal you. You got to believe it right now that I've already healed you. I'm not going to sit there and do this, that, and the other. No, you got to stand up. You got to do it. I want to see that you want to get well. I want to see that you want healing. I want to see that you have rejected the victim ID. Nobody's against you. If I'm for you, who else is? Who could be against you? Get up. I don't know how he said it, but that's how I'd say it, and then I'd smack him again. This is the perfect example for how God sees us. He's not going, oh, come here. Let's just cuddle for a little while. It's like, dude, grow up. Get up. 38 years is long enough. That fake ID, you're not a victim. You're a victor. See, listen, Jesus is full of love and compassion. He is. But he doesn't want your hurts to be your identity. He doesn't want the bad things that happen to you to be your identity. He doesn't want the sin that you've done in your past to be your identity. And he's telling you to get up and get rid of the fake ID. Get rid of the fake ID. Pick up the real ID, the new creation ID that I've given you. That's what the Lord's saying. He wants you to be well. But you got to want to be well. He's not making you do it. The guy could have easily said, okay, I won't get up. I'm just going to stay here. Let's not be that. Listen, I want to pray this morning, and I know I hit like a machine gun, just giving you all this information, and you kind of feel like right now maybe you're feeling, and I know for me, even writing this, the Lord's just pointing things out in my life, especially with the other people's opinion. Especially after last week when I got your affirmations as a pastor. Do you know, the enemy wants us to focus on the negatives all the time. And he wants, it's so little. It's the little foxes in the garden. It's the little stuff. The enemy's like, ooh, that's your identity. That's who you are. When you have a bad day at work and there's a coworker who says something mean to you, ooh, the enemy wants to use that. He wants to use that. You get written up at work because you screwed up. The enemy says, ooh, let me make that false identity. Oh, here you go. You're just a screw up. The truth is, too many of us have been carrying this fake ID for too long. Fake IDs in our wallets of our hearts that we've been carrying around and saying, this is who I am. This is who I am. I wanted to show you this. I wrote just these little slips of paper here. They look like little IDs. And I know for a fact, because I'm one too, and there's no way that I'm the only guy. Maybe there is. But I know that we've all got fake IDs. That we all are like that 17-year-old version of ourselves that said, I want to do this, that, and the other, so we pick up the fake ID. And we're carrying it around in our lives, and we're operating out of these fake ID cards on our life, saying, this is who I am. My parents told me this. Maybe you were hurt by somebody. Your coworkers don't like you. So you've just accepted all that. Tonight, or this morning rather, I feel like God's saying, get your real ID. That you're loved. That you're cared for. And most of the time, it's the opposite of what the enemy has told you. Almost always. Right? So he's told you you're a failure. And you thought, that's all I'm ever going to be is a failure. That's not true. That's not your identity. You're not a failure. You're not a victim. Maybe, you know, with the sin ID, you've been walking around with the things that you've done in your previous life or things you even did last week, and you've accepted, this is who I am. Can I tell you that that's not who you are? So I want to make it available in a minute here where you can come up, take one of these cards, write what God's calling you. Write what your true identity is. Whatever the Lord's speaking to you right now. Whatever that is. Maybe you felt like you're a bad father. Write you're a good father. That's what he looks at you as. Maybe you felt like you're a cheat. That's all you are. That's out. No, you're not a cheat. You're the opposite. You're a man of integrity. A woman of integrity. Maybe you've gotten caught up with bitterness. And you've taken that fake ID bitterness card and you're like, I'm just bitter. That's who I'm going to be for the rest of my life. Get rid of the fake ID. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, and I just want to say thank you for creating us, me, in your image. Maybe you just need to say that today. Lord, thank you for creating me in your image. Thank you, Lord, for breathing into us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. But at the same time, you don't want us to stay on the by the side of a pool complaining. You don't want to stay there and accept that identity. Lord, I ask all around this room, Lord, would you just start speaking to people your true identity in their lives? What you're saying about them. Some of you have been trying to you've had this other people's opinion. This is what I feel the Lord is saying, that there's someone's opinion that you've always wanted in your life. Somebody that you wanted them to trust in you and believe in you and have faith in you. And somebody you wanted their approval. And maybe that person isn't even around anymore, but you're still feeling like this empty hole that you are not approved and that you need to earn that. I feel like the Lord's writing on your card right now, you are loved and approved. You are loved and approved. You don't have to chase after that. Some of you are still holding that sin card of things you've done in the past, and you feel like that, for some reason, you feel like that disqualifies you from being who God wants you to be. It doesn't. It doesn't disqualify you. If anything, because of the change you've made in your life, God has qualified you because of his calling that he's placed on you. You feel like, I can't say anything to my friends at work because of this stuff I did in the past. No, that's the enemy speaking and trying to get you that fake ID, saying that your sin defines you. It's not who you are. Some of us have that religious ID, and we don't want it. We know it's bad, but we can't help but try to just make people like us more and wanting that approval, so we act in a very religious way. I just feel like the Lord's writing loved on your heart. Loved on that card. Lord, would you just please speak to us? I want to open the front here. If you want to take one of these and put it in your wallet right on there, there's pens up here. Yeah, okay, it's open now, so you could just come anytime you want. But while you're there and you're writing, just say, God, what are you speaking over my life? What is my identity? God, who are you calling me? What are you saying to me? Some of you just got to, just while you're writing this, you're actually in return, returning the old ID. When you come up and you take this, you're taking that old ID and saying, that's not who I am. I am not a failure. I am not a screw up. Some of the things that we have about ourselves, yes, maybe you have a tendency to be a little crass at times. The Lord wants to take that and rip up that fake ID and say, listen, I can use part of that for my kingdom. You got to believe that. Lord, we love you. Care for you, God. I do want to say, I know that there's been abuse in some of your lives and things that have happened from other people. Other people have said things about you. They've hurt you physically, emotionally, even spiritually. And you've been carrying around that hurt for so long that it's become your identity. Maybe even sexual abuse. Listen, it's not who you are. You are not a victim. You are a victor. And the Lord wants to use, listen, the Lord wants to use your previous hurts and bring you into victory so you can bring other people into victory. He doesn't want you to stay where you're at, because when we stay where we're at and we take these fake IDs, we can't do what God's asking us to do. That's the enemy's whole goal. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have a hope and a future for us. We thank you that you love us, but you love us just the way we are, but you love us too much to allow us to stay that way. And Lord, today, this morning, we're rejecting those fake IDs. We're rejecting other people's opinions and the fear of man. We're rejecting that our sin defines us. We're rejecting the victim mentality. Lord, I pray for a continual growth in this area of all of our lives so that we can bring other people into their true identity in Christ. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Amen.